ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 15.
Jigupsitam dharma krite nushasataha.
Jigupsitam dharma krite nushasataha.
Svabhava raktasya mahan vatikramaha. Yadvakyato dharma itita rakstito.
Yadvakyato dharma itita rakstito.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasataha.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasataha.
Svabhava raktasya mahan vyatikramaha. Yadvakyato dharma iti tarastito.
Yadvakyato dharma iti tarastito.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha.
Jugupsitam, verily condemned.
Dharma
krite, for the matter of religion. Anushasataha, instruction. Svabhava raktasya, naturally inclined. Mahan, great. Vyatikramaha, unreasonable. Yadvakyataha, under whose instruction? Dharmaha, religion. Iti, it is thus. Itaraha, people in general. Stitaha, fixed. Na, do not. Manyate, think. Tasya, of that. Nivaranam, prohibition. Janaha, they. Translation, the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. And you have encouraged them in that way, in the name of religion. Strong language here. This is verily condemned. It is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literatures is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. Is right. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination to practice, to endeavor, by practice, to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home, to revolve in the cycle of transmigration in a series of lives numbering 8,400,000 in an imprisoned life. Is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned souls. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation for the human being is to reestablish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged and making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of human energy results in a misguided civilization. Śrīla Vyāsadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahābhārata, etc., and his encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement because people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage, like the man last night. It's fun. Material bondage. Fun. What's wrong with fun? At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, as sacrificing animals in the name of yajna, were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narada, and therefore he condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters still continued to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literatures such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten and slaughterhouses become prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. Paragraph. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population, but it is attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are ultimately unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. Na, 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 na. Paragraph. In histories like the Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects along with material topics. Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender unto him without delay. Final paragraph. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to take partially what he should not take at all. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitive work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritualization. But, those who are in the devotional line need not always be so advised. End of paragraph. End of purport. Come back to that point. So, the verse we chanted, it's very strong. Jugupsitam dharmakrite nushasataha. Anushasata. You've instructed dharmakrite, the way of performing dharma. Well, jugupsitam, I condemn it. That's pretty strong. And vyatikramaha is also quite unreasonable. Swabhava raktasya mahan vyatikramaha yad vakito dharma ititarastito na manyate tasya nivaranam janaha. The people in general are not going to want any prohibitions. People in general naturally inclined to enjoy. You encourage them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned. And it's quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. So it sounds like, you know, a stern teacher here. He's got a stick. And he's telling his student, Vyas, bad. Consistently in the Bhagavatam, Narada is the voice that says fruitive activities are not advised. Even the religious way of approaching fruitive activities, it's not advised. And there are a number of very creative ways that Narada describes fruitive activities. Even according to the Vedas, it's not advised. Here he's doing it with his disciple, Vyas, very directly. Jugupsitam. Condemned. Bad. With King Pachini Bari, it was done differently. It was, my dear king, you're very pious. Let me tell you a nice story. Once upon a time. And a long description of the consequence of fruitive work through a story. And King Puranjan happened to be the metaphorical King Prajini Bari, or the soul who wants to enjoy. And without going through that whole narration, it's a wonderful narration, but it's the allure of happiness found through fruitive activities. Or in his discussions with the Hariyashvas and Savalashvas, same intent. They were under Daksha's direction. They were to engage in austerity so they would be really good at producing good praja, because Prajapati Daksha wanted his sons to help him in his Prajapati program. But after examining the Hariyashvas with a riddle, which they immediately understood because they were qualified, then he pulled the plug on fruitive activities and sent them to his Makta Ashram and trained them up in devotional service. And so on. So many descriptions of Narada being that voice. And as the direct son of Lord Brahma, who directly received the Vedas from the personality of Godhead, perfectly fitting. And What's the consequence if the voice of Narada isn't heard? Well, the consequence is that living entities who already have a tendency for association with matter, we heard that from chapter 4 and the beginning again in chapter 5, that affinity for matter, too much affinity for matter, is the root problem of people in this age of Kali. Like the man last night. Too much. So much so that he didn't even hear the whole message. He was arguing against something that wasn't even being presented. Just, I'm attached was the message. And when attached is fun. What's wrong with fun? You want to argue against fun? We don't want to argue against fun. We want to define what fun is. What happiness is. So, in several ways, in weaving as a theme through the purport, Prabhupada is describing that living entities through long material association, life after life, it's not just this one time around, it's life after life in so many different species where there's no consideration of regulation in other species. Now in this human form of life, what's the natural inclination? Enjoy matter. And now we have this souped up model called the human form of life. We can really enjoy matter. Let it roll. Enjoy matter. Do it nicely. Be religious. But enjoy matter. That's the inclination. So, the reminder of Srila Prabhupada is, they don't know the response, they don't have a sense of the responsibility of human life. So now comes the voice of Narada through Srila Prabhupada, which is, the purpose of this human form of life is to achieve spiritual perfection. That's what the design is for. Ask the manufacturer. It's right there on the operating instructions of this machine. In the form of Bhagavad Gita. Achieve spiritual perfection. Restore, what is that? Restore our loving relationship with Krishna. And it's not, rotate further and further and further in a better model. That's not the message. End the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. That's, you know, that's Bhagavad Gita's instruction. But without Bhagavad Gita's instruction being the centerpiece and without properly understanding it, it's how to enjoy prosperity in this life and a better model in the next life. He writes, this human form of life is a chance to get out of imprisoned life. Because going from one body to the next body, however, it may be seen as, you know, a good deal or a nice model. It's imprisoned life that binds one to another prison sentence and another prison sentence and another prison sentence. It's just built into the system. Unless one gets the human form of life and gets proper guidance, Narada type of instruction. And it starts with understanding, Prabhupada is saying here, with understanding what's the responsibility? What's this human life's mission? Then going to the end of the purport, the human life's mission isn't just to, like the physician, okay, let's get you to the place where you can still eat things you shouldn't eat and you're not falling apart. Let's do that. The good physician is going to say, let's do without all the things that you shouldn't eat. All of those things. And then you'll be fully healthy, not just like managing suffering and, you know, managing your suffering. But out of the condition altogether. People won't care for such prohibition. Nivaranam janaha. Nivaranam janaha. People in general won't like prohibition. They'll give them the option. I'll take the enjoyment. Look at all the other kids are doing it. What's wrong? All the other religions are doing it. All the other people that are on a spiritual path are doing it. And you can enjoy and be spiritual. What's wrong? Joy, meaning enjoy sense gratification. So without standards, why not? And then you got a whole bunch of people saying the same thing. Yeah, that's spiritual. And then that defines what's spiritual. Vox populi. That's what's spiritual. Enjoy nicely. Don't hurt anybody. I'm spiritual. He's spiritual. They're spiritual. No standards. No sense of this ultimate purpose. So Prabhupada uses one of his favorite phrases here, misguided population. Misguided civilization. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged to make a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. And that's even if there are religious functions. But then, you know, go up a notch and say religious functions aimed at sense gratification. One of the difficulties that we have in college preaching is when forming clubs, they, you know, let's say the Hindu Students Association, they don't want religious functions. You know, I'm sorry, but we won't sponsor your program because our group just wants social functions. No religious functions. Sorry. Sometimes it's covered over by saying, oh, well, if we let this religious function, then we have to let that religious function, and then it's an avalanche of religious functions. Sorry, no religious functions. Well, you know, we're going to have a social function, and you can come and join our social function if you like. And social function means, you know, drinking and merrymaking and, you know, Bollywood songs and the whole deal. And that's their, you know, the holy function or the Janmashtami function or the Dushera function or something. That's what they do. But no. The people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them to material bondage after so many lifetimes of other species of life and other forms of life and getting a human form of life. And there's a bunch of religions out there that say, enjoy. We want to fill up our membership roles. Enjoy. Come and join us. And then here comes a group that says, restrict your enjoyment, the material sense enjoyment, and understand the responsibility of the human form of life. It's like children that want to play and say, you know, stop playing and come back into the classroom. They want to keep playing. Then Prabhupada takes the principle and applies it to meat eating. So, within the Vedas, procedures for animal sacrifice, and once there's even a little wiggle room, whoa, animal sacrifice, let's go for it. And seeing that animal sacrifice, Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas and said, stop this, you should be non-violent. Because the Vedas are not encouraging violence, it's regulating those that are having a tendency to be violent. But even the regulating of, It's in the discussion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Chandkazi, the same topic was discussed, that within the Quran, I didn't know this until I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but in the Quran, there is pravritti and nivritti. And in pravritti, there's a process for animal sacrifice. Towards the end of the Quran, it actually says, you really shouldn't do that. When you become a more elevated follower of the Quran, you won't do that, because that's the better, that's actually better. But those that can't, hear the process of sacrifice. But in their scripture, the process of sacrifice, the objection of Mahaprabhu was, included in the sacrifice of your mother. Well, you really shouldn't eat your mother, but if you have to, you do it in a regulated way. It's verily condemned. Jugupsitam. And Jati Krama. Unreasonable. And as with something so blatant, it's condemned and unreasonable. What Narada is saying to Vyasa, the whole principle of regulated sense gratification is opening the door. It's the wiggle room. And once there's wiggle room, as Prabhupada says here, the next thing you know, open up the slaughterhouses, bring in the cattle and slaughter them all, because Christ ate fish at the sea of, at the Dead Sea. Wait a minute. how do we get from that to that? Unrestricted animal slaughter. Because whether it happened, we discussed this yesterday, but whether it happened or not, the historian said it happened, assuming it had happened. What's there to eat at the Dead Sea? No vegetation. So there's fish. And so, to take care of his followers, he authorized that they take fish. And when you're now in a situation where there's ample other foodstuffs, is it authorized? Or, what to speak of, unrestricted animal slaughter? On the basis of something that Christ did at the Dead Sea. Or Sea of Galilee, whichever it was. So, they are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, the Vedic regulations of sacrifice, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten. And the slaughterhouses become prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In many ways, Prabhupada would drill down on this point of religious regulation is an indication that actually you should do without this thing. You would speak about marriage. And you know, the best is you do without sex life. And other than without sex life, some people, you know, whoa, I can't live my life without that. So you regulate it. And he would give the example of the government regulating production of alcohol, because people won't do without it. And then he would describe how you make alcohol. Rice, ferment, some period of time, distill. Oh, it makes very nice. Alcohol, rice wine. People can do it in their home. So the government says, no, you can't do it in your home. You regulate it. Now, the greedy government doesn't do it because they want to regulate something that shouldn't be done. They want to put some money in their pocket. But they tried at one point prohibition, and it doesn't work. Okay, so you regulate it. But the message is, it's ideally is to be done without. So, therefore the direct message is, do it out. Now and then Prabhupada said, we don't say don't eat, but take only Krishna prasadam. And some things just are unofferable to Krishna, so you take Krishna prasadam only. Automatically it eliminates the things that you cannot eat or should not eat. Should not eat the product of violence. One other message here is that it's the message of renunciation, the message of nivritti, the message of gradually reducing one's involvement with matter progressively throughout life until, if done properly, it's by cultivation of spirit and spiritual connection with the Supreme Lord, so that at the conclusion of one's life, that's all there is. That's properly utilizing the human form of life. So, therefore, the principle of renunciation, which materialistic men do not care to listen to, it's for the well-being of the individual and of society, is to allow them the progressive march of the human form of life to the stage that it's meant to take one to. Final part is about Mahabharata. Mahabharata has Bhagavad Gita, but Mahabharata also has politics, sociology, economics, philanthropic activities, which materialistic men are more attracted to. In fact, that was the design. Bring them to that subject which they are attracted to, elevated by principles of morality. Don't do this way, do that way. But then, through that attraction, then the centerpiece is there, Bhagavad Gita. The final point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is this notion, even from Bhagavad Gita, that materialistic persons are attached to fruitive activities, and so a man who is so attached to fruitive activities should not be discouraged from doing so, but should be encouraged with faith to follow that formula that can elevate those fruitive activities. We shouldn't disturb them. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. But those who are in the devotional line need not be always so advised. So this is the requires discrimination and a little expertise on the part of the Vaishnava to understand the individual that you're interacting with and what their capacity was or is. Narada could understand the attachment of King Prajinibari, so he was very gentle. And with King Chitraketu, the understanding was he was over the top with attachment for wanting a child. I'm forgetting the name of the other Muni that was with Narada. Huh? Parvat Muni? Angira. So Angira saw he's too attached. I can't possibly tell him, you know, my dear sir, it's obvious the Lord is not intending for you to have a child. But he's too attached. So instead, he provided the means for him to have a child that he would have for a brief moment and then lose, because it just wasn't the Lord's plan. So that he could be then instructed in the matter of detachment. So, That lesson is something for progressive life. It's a lesson that one way or the other one has to learn. The best is just to learn from scripture. And here we're getting directly from Narada, even before the Bhagavatam is written, what's the principle that's to be embedded in the Bhagavatam. In order to realize the personality of Godhead, this detachment from affinity for enjoying matter is required. Otherwise, our relationship with Krishna will remain a nice idea, but not something that we'll experience. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes.
Maharaj, you've explained that the reason why Vyasadeva wrote the literatures is because not everyone is ready to surrender that to Krishna, and so there's a gradual process. So is he being chastised for inordinate emphasis on that section? Like, what is the chastisement? He seems to have done what Krishna wanted, what he was supposed to.
Well, there's two sides of the coin. He was doing what he's supposed to do. At that point he had not compiled the fullness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the other side of the coin. Now take literally what he's saying is, Vyas, you shouldn't have even written any of that. You should only write the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's two sides of the same coin. One of the appreciations for the vastness of the Vedic literatures and the Vedic wisdom is it's so comprehensive. It's about everything that human society requires. And human society does require, in fact, we incorporate it in our, you know, presentation of Krishna consciousness and our life of Krishna consciousness, that seeing to the necessities of life. And organizing society around the religious way of, you know, the Varnashram Dharma system. We don't only have one ashram. We're not followers, like the followers of Shankaracharya. There's no way you can be a qualified receiver of the teachings of Shankaracharya unless you become a sannyasi. And then you can become Narayan. And otherwise, you know, see you later, Charlie. So it's more comprehensive. It's an expression of mercy. But the greatest expression of mercy is what Narada is indicating here. The thought is, I was just contemplating, it's a whole other thing. One sense, it's much easier to take people who, under the umbrella of the vastness of Vedic culture, to elevate them to Krishna consciousness, than the people that have no sense of regulation, as found in the Vedic culture. They're the totally unregulated personalities. To bring them to Krishna consciousness is challenging. In some cases, they can quickly, but then they can also fall very quickly. And when they fall very quickly, it's a free fall. It's a long distance. Yes?
I have a question, and I want to share the experience about the meeting page. I did my graduation in a Catholic school, and they do an annual feast, and once they were doing a feast, and my professor was asking if they all had all the lamb and meat, and go and eat. I don't eat all that stuff, I'm a vegetarian. God made one fish for us to enjoy. It was what she gave it.
Sure, that's their idea. That's their purpose for existence. What other purpose for existence would they have other than for us to eat? There are variations on that theme. Okay, that's the sharing. What's the question?
Again, that's why one of my professors said, you say you're a vegetarian and you drink milk and eat dairy products. He asked me, how do you justify it?
Easy. When you take milk, you're not killing the cow.
Yeah, I give the same answer. They say that you don't let the cow drink the milk.
Oh, that's easy also. The amount of milk that the calf eats is but a fraction of what the mother produces. Say it the other way. If you don't milk the cow, the cow will become sick. Let the calf drink and drink and drink until the calf is drunk. And there's still more milk. And if you don't milk the cow becomes sick. It, by its nature's arrangement, that the cow is a domesticated animal. What else?
In the purport, in the last line, Prabhupada writes,
I'll read it. The last line is, but those who are in devotional line need not be always so advised.
Not the last line. He says that, the man attached to fruity work should not be discouraged from his occupation.
Yeah.
At the end he says that those who are in devotional line need not also be so advised.
Okay. Well, overall, the Bhagavatam is definitely discouraging fruitive work. It's like loud and clear. But the interim is, well, do it by the codes of Vedic sacrifice. Then offer the result unto Vishnu. Be detached from the fruits of your work. You're entitled to the performance of your work, your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of those prescribed duties. So be detached from the fruits of fruitive work. Then what does it become? It's no longer fruitive work. It's detached work. So that person need not be discouraged from continuing in his occupation or his, that work which he has propensity to do, but that person should be encouraged to offer karma yoga or work for Krishna. That's even before the regulations of bhakti. So one who is being encouraged in the regulations of bhakti may be given some service that's not exactly what is their, you know, leave them alone in a room and give them some discretionary time, and what are they going to do? And that's what their propensity is. But something that's assigned to them that may be a surrender, a sacrifice to do because it's needful. So one of Prabhupada's phrases simply was, do the needful. He didn't say, do what your propensity is. He would say, do the needful. Now, sometimes it was the propensity of someone to do that particular needful thing, and sometimes it wasn't. But because it was his instruction to do so, it's what the devotee did. But that's when there's enough attachment for the spiritual master, or attachment to Krishna, that indication can be given, and one can be happy doing it, because it's for Prabhupada and Krishna. Propensity or not. You know, if we go with propensities, you know, we're not going to have Mangalarti. My propensity is to sleep. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you. You recognize my propensity. You're very expert. Huh?
You did that.
Okay. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, I have a question on the composition of the Bhagavatam or the chronology of when it was put in writing. Because my understanding is that Shukadeva Goswami was instructed the essential verses when he was still in the womb of his mother, and then later when the Hanjur brought him back, Vyasadeva instructed the entire Bhagavatam. But in the Bhagavatam, we also read of Shukadeva Goswami's speaking to Maharishi and Sukadeva Goswami relating that dialogue. So was it composed by Vyasadeva? Or because he's three kind of, he was...
Yes, that's the answer.
Okay.
He could have written it, in his sleep. So, that's the answer to when did he write it, because he's writing about things that didn't happen yet as if they've happened, but he's using future tense. So, I was involved in a very scholarly... it was like open heart surgery or something. It was very, very delicate analysis of when, and I can't remember how all the discussion went, but it was sometime after the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. When the literature was composed. But that, practically speaking, could have been before, could have been a lot, even before it happened, because of his capacity of Trikalagya. And after Maharaj Parikshit was certainly after Shukadeva Goswami heard it from Vyas, which was after he heard the preliminary verses of Bhagavad Gita, as Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes.
Thinking about the way Vyasadeva is being chastised almost.
Mm-hmm. Not almost.
Can we take one application point to that we should always consult for the spiritual master prior to performing service?
Well, major things, yeah, but it can be circuit overload do I take my right step after my left step? Should I ask my spiritual master? Yeah, major undertaking, sure.
And was that the issue in this case?
No. In this case, it's an arrangement of the personality of Godhead for our edification. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.